All right, Alexander, let's talk about the European Union and the situation going on in the EU. There is a lot to get to, so let me open it up with French President Emmanuel Macron coming out of Reuters. Alexander, here we go. Buckle up, this is a good one. French President Emmanuel Macron warned his fellow European Union leaders on Thursday that the corona outbreak risked undoing the bloc's central pillars, such as its no border zone, if they failed to show solidarity in this crisis, a diplomat said. And I quote, "What's at stake is the survival of the European project," he told the 26 other leaders in a conference call, according to a French diplomat. Quote, "The risk we are facing is the death of Schengen," Macron added, according to the same source. Alexander, let me take you to another quote out of Sputnik. And this comes from Estonian President Kersti Kaljulaid, said on Tuesday, quote, "The European Union today is actually unable to cope with its main task to ensure the functioning of a single market. The main duty of the EU is to ensure united economic space, free movement of labor, goods, services, and capital. We have obvious problems today with at least three of these components." Alexander, take it away.
Well, I mean, it's I mean, we're looking at an asylum which has been run by the lunatics. I mean, you would have thought that in a situation like the one Europe is facing now, I mean, well, let me put it like this: dying for Schengen seems a very odd thing to do. I mean, you know, it's absolutely bizarre. I mean, listening to Macron talking about, you know, the importance of keeping borders within the EU open and free movement, you know, continuing. I mean, it's almost surreal. It shows the complete detachment from reality. Now, the Estonian leader is absolutely as bad in some ways, but at least there is a kind of agenda there because, of course, from Estonia's point of view, one of the big, and the Baltic states, one of the big exports the Baltic states have are their people who come to the European Union, the rest of the European Union, and they work there. And of course, they send back remittances to the Baltic states. Same happens to Ukraine, by the way. And that's what keeps the Baltic economies ticking over. It's one of the things that keeps them ticking over. So one can understand in a kind of way, however bizarre this is, that you know, Estonia wants to keep the Schengen borders you know, open. But I mean, really, I mean, Macron doesn't yet grasp the fact that this is not the moment for it. It seems very, very weird to me. I would add, by the way, that these extraordinary comments were made over the course of a European meeting, a European Council meeting, which took place on the same day as the G20 meeting on Thursday. That lasted for 6 hours. That meeting lasted for 6 hours. Apparently, it was an absolute row. I mean, you know, they weren't able to agree on anything of substance. Macron was pushing again for ever more European integration. He wants to keep the Schengen borders open. Germany, by the way, has closed them down. Germany's trying to stop free movement, but Macron apparently still wants it.
Except for migrants, but that's another video. Except for migrants, that's another video.
We'll come to that. But Macron not only wants Schengen to still operate, he also was pushing for Eurobonds. So that is this project whereby the European you know, European government, the European Union floats bonds to finance the European Union economies, which is another way of saying that countries like Germany, Finland, the Netherlands, Slovakia should be actually paying Italian and French debt, which massive centralization. It would be a conversion, another conversion of the European Union into a single economy with a single treasury system and finance ministry, because that's what a Eurobond implies. And of course, apparently Merkel was open to the idea. The Dutch and several other and the Austrians and several other countries said absolutely not, not under any circumstances. So there's this huge row between the Euro ideologues, Macron, who wants to keep Schengen open. That's his priority, it seems, not fighting Corona, but protect, you know, preserving Schengen. And the other people, the North Europeans especially, who well, not just the North Europeans, but other people who have perhaps a more realistic understanding of the situation. In only one respect do I agree with Macron, and that is that it is indeed true that the Union, the European Union, is in an existential crisis. It has now been exposed to the reality of how completely dysfunctional this system is when it is facing a crisis, a health crisis of the sort that we have been talking about. And it's fascinating to see how more and more people across Europe are now moving back and looking to their national governments to take control. And of course, the Euro fanatics, people like Macron, are absolutely horrified by this. And for them, this is obviously the great betrayal. And they're very worried that their whole rickety system, in which they've invested so much and believe in so much, is about to come crashing down.
Well, I mean, you had 15 years of austerity in many of the Southern European countries. And I mean, they're completely ill-prepared to go through
Absolutely.
any kind of
Absolutely.
economic crisis, even the slightest, smallest type of economic downturn. And they are finished. And I say that looking at Greece. Greece was furious after the meeting today, furious,
Absolutely.
because they pretty much outright said it. They can't go through another austerity program,
I
period.
agree.
They go
I
through that,
agree.
and you're looking at a Grexit. It's
I
over.
agree. I agree. You know something? This is so interesting because this is where the change of government in Greece may have changed the dynamics of this, because Tsipras had become so compromised that I think he would have probably accepted another bailout. Because, by the way, that's what Merkel was talking about. She was talking
Can you
about,
explain that real quick? What Merkel's idea? She said we could. Merkel said that basically the European, she saw nothing wrong. I want to get this right. She saw nothing wrong in using the previous mechanisms that Europe used in the past. Can you explain that a little
This
bit, if you will?
is this extraordinary system. This is this fund, the ECM, which has a 500 billion euro fund, which if countries run into trouble, it would it would lend money to them. I stress, lend money to them in return for further conditions. In other words, another bailout of the sort that, you know, Greece had, and Italy and Spain and Ireland and all of these others. She wants to go back. She's proposing a return to the ideas of before. Now, if you remember, you
You
take your
mean
money,
austerity?
austerity and all that all over again. I mean, this is, she's not prepared to think beyond this, and she's still talking about using you know, the bailout provisions. I mean, it's quite bizarre. So she's proposing bailouts. Macron was proposing Eurobonds, which Merkel apparently, with all the others, eventually ruled out. And of course, the countries on the receiving end of all of this, Italy and Greece, they said, no way are we accepting more bailouts. And it's interesting that, you know, Greece is now taking this position, because I wonder whether Tsipras, who was such a compromised figure, would have done. But anyway, so Mitsotakis took a hard line over the borders. Mitsotakis may take, I think he will take, a strong line on another bailout. So we would be seeing a Grexit. I mean, and you know, I think not just a Grexit, but if there is a Brexit, it will spread. It will be another, if you like, this time an economic infection, which will bring the whole Euro system finally crashing down. And I think this is what Macron is scared of. So we had this extraordinarily angry meeting, which went nowhere. And by the way, that explains why the G20 meeting was such a no-show, because it was quite clear that the European leaders, instead of focusing on the G20 meeting, which perhaps they should have been doing, can't even get their own act together. They're all quarreling now. So quarreling within the European Union, Macron talking about keeping the borders open, preserving Schengen, keeping the European Union pristine in all its forms. The Estonian leader also demanding the same thing. No doubt others too, you know, the Euro integrationists, the globalist side, they're still fervently defending all of that. And Merkel, of course, she does want borders up to a point, as we'll shortly discuss, but she's not prepared to go down the way of Eurobonds, which is completely rejected by the Austrians and the Dutch and many, many people in Germany. She wants to keep things exactly as they have been, with more bailouts to countries in trouble, bailouts which those countries can't afford and won't accept. So we have a complete crisis. And in the meantime, there's no real plan. You know, people have been talking about, you know, cranking up production of ventilators and all of this, but there's no real organization or structure to do that. In the United States, Cuomo picks up the phone, talks to Trump. They may be, you know, they may be angry with each other. They may be saying hard words with each other, but Cuomo can do that. He can say, you know, in New York, I need 30,000 ventilators. And Donald Trump can say, well, maybe I can't give you 30,000, but I'll give you 4,000 now, and I'll try and get you more later. And that kind of thing happens in the United States. In Europe, it doesn't. It doesn't happen like that. And we have this extraordinary thing that Germany will now take. We will take people from Italy because the Italian hospitals are now overwhelmed and they can't treat people. So Germany will take people. And how many are they going to take? They're going to take 47. I mean, I saw this. I mean, they're going to just take 47 people because so they're not going to supply medical equipment to Italy. And they've at least utterly failed to do so now. They're going to help Italy by taking 47 cases when Italy has, what, 30,000 now, and it's growing at a rate of about 5,000 a day. It's you couldn't make it up. It's that crazy, the situation in Europe. So, you know, you look at functional countries like the United States is a functional country. China is a functional country. Russia is a functional country. They have policies, they have clear chains of command, they have logistics services organized. The European Union is just a mess. It can't agree, it can't decide. You have the ideologues like Macron pushing one way, you have the North Europeans pushing a different way, and you have people like the Greeks and the Italians coming away disgusted. So this is, if I can say so, a hopeless mess.
Italy, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, I mean, all these countries, they can't accept austerity either. I mean, it's not a Greek thing. Huh. Once again, you have half of the European Union almost that if you decide to go back to this 2010 mechanism that they used, 2009, 10, 11 mechanism, it's game over.
Yeah,
for many countries, is it not? Absolutely. Especially, yeah. You look at Italy and Spain, they have 700 people dying a day now.
Well, I know, indeed, I mean, exactly.
How are these economies going to rebound?
Well, they're not. I mean, not if they're crippled with debt on top of it. I mean, Italian debt is becoming completely unsustainable. I mean, it must now be approaching 150, well, it must have long surpassed 150 of Italy's functional GDP. And bear in mind, Italy is now spending more. Its deficit is way beyond the rules, which have now been relaxed. So, you know, public debt in Italy must be exploding. Public debt in France must be exploding. Spain, it must be exploding. How are they going to pay for this? How are they going to pay for this? Eurobonds is ruled out. The European Central Bank is printing money to cover these debts. But the Germans are very worried and are worried about that. And, you know, with good cause, because I don't think this is a good monetary solution, because in effect, it means that the European Central Bank is printing euros to cover Italy's budget deficit. And that has all kinds of problems. And at the same time, euro bonds is out of the question. And another bailout? Impossible. So what ought to happen? Alex, is absolutely simple and straightforward as far as I'm concerned.
What?
They should allow defaults if they want to keep the system in going. They should allow defaults.
What does
They
that
should
mean,
allow,
though,
well,
in
they should
practical
allow,
terms? In
they
practical
should
terms, what does that
allow,
mean?
they should accept the reality that Europe is insolvent. They should allow Italy, Greece, Spain, all these countries to default on their debts. They should come and help them. But of course, that means you can't carry on the pretense that there is a single economic region area in Europe, because if parts of it default in this fashion, at least now, then, as I said, you're no longer dealing any longer with a unified economy. Because if you are, then of course, those defaults would affect countries like Germany and Finland and the others, which are in theory solvent. So that would mean the economic breakup of the Euro, of the European Union. But it's what they should do, because in practical terms, that is the reality.
Does that mean the breakup of using the euro as a
Absolutely. I mean,
currency?
absolutely. I mean, once upon a time, can I just say this? Back in 2010, Greece could have been allowed to default, and it need not have had affected the euro, because at that time, you could have argued the euro is just the currency. We don't have full economic monetary union. It's just the currency. Germany doesn't stand behind Greece. And I think there would have been a shock in the markets, but it could have been done. I think it's too late for now. You can't turn that turn around now, 10 years later, after repeated bailouts, and say that if Greece defaults or if Italy defaults, and you know, if there's an Italian default, that has consequences right across the European banking system. But you know, if you can't come round and say, well, if these countries default, this doesn't affect the integrity of the single currency. If Greece defaults, if Italy defaults, if there's a spiral of defaults, the whole thing will now come crashing down.
And so what happens, Alexander? The thing gets so tricky because I was watching Euronews yesterday, and I was seeing people driving from various European nations back to their home countries of Poland and Hungary. And a lot of people were just coming home because what I saw is, you know, all these people working in different countries all over Europe are understanding that these local economies are going to implode.
Yeah.
There's going to be no money. There's going to be no jobs. People are going to get laid off. And all these people that are working, that are from one country and working in another, they're going to go back home. And so what I saw on Euronews is they showed this huge line of cars and trucks just trying to drive across border to border to get back home. In this case, it was people that were working mostly in the west of Europe looking to come back towards the east.
Yeah.
And they were
Well,
just stuck in like 10-hour traffic trying to get home. And every one of them had the same response. You know what? There's nothing left.
no, I know.
Whoever I worked with is finished. They've closed up. I need to get back home now. What's going to happen here? I mean, it's going to be the whole system's falling apart.
It is,
All of it.
as I said, it is falling apart. It's a total and complete breakdown. I mean, when Macron said that, you know, it's an existential moment, that's the one thing about, that's the one thing he said, which is right. And note, there is no real effort or attempt to help these people return. And of course, when they do return, they're going to bring the infection with them, because the European Union did absolutely nothing in the months and weeks that it had before the infection took hold in Europe to control it, even though, as I understand it, the Chinese were coming along and they were giving repeated warnings that it was, you know, it was a really dangerous thing. But none of them took any of those warnings seriously. None of them prepared. So these people are going to come back to their home countries, bringing the infection, which is going to spread across Eastern Europe. Eastern European economies are not going to get the remittances upon which they heavily depend. They're going to come back to their countries and find that there are no jobs there, because Eastern Europe, in some places, in a lot of places, has deindustrialized quite a lot, because it can't comp it couldn't compete against the great German industrial machine either. So we're looking at an absolute catastrophe, and that's why people like the Estonian foreign minister or was saying, you know, this, or was it the president, was saying, you know, this isn't working, all the pillars of the European Union are crashing down. Because from the perspective of these governments and of the politicians in Eastern Europe who invested so much in this project, people, you know, all these people who were persuaded their people to join in. It's now turning into an absolute disaster, a hellhole for them.
And then you have van der Leyen and Michel. Is the other guy's name? Michel. I mean, I look at these guys and they're not up to this challenge whatsoever. This is a train wreck.
Well, it is. It's a complete train wreck. I mean, not just them, but I mean, the one who has actual power, who is Christine Lagarde. I mean, do you have any confidence in what she does?
Everything she touches, she destroys.
And as we've discussed before, floats upwards. I mean, Ursula von der Leyen, she was the German defense minister and was widely felt to have failed in that role. So what do? You make a president of the European Commission. I mean, you actually promote her. I mean, it seems extraordinary. It seems very bizarre, but this is the way it's worked. So, because you see, these are not politicians, really. They're just functionaries, and they're not accountable to voters, to electors, in the way that, you know, national politicians are. So they can fail, and it doesn't really affect them, because provided they keep the favor of their masters in the various important European states and institutions, there's nothing, you know, whether they succeed or whether they fail, it doesn't really matter for them.
All right, Alexander. So finally, let's close out the video with a statement from van der Leyen. And this is the unelected leader of the EU speaking to a European Parliament that has absolutely zero power to do anything. And this is what she isn't doing anything. And this is what she tells them. And I quote, "We can only succeed in our task if we are united. Recent days have shown that we can reverse the upward trend of the disease if we do all that is demanded of us. When this crisis began, many of us thought only about what was happening in our own countries. That was totally stupid. The EU has to be there for all the people of Europe." And this was said, Alexander, on the 26th of March.
Well, here we go. I mean, we're all in it together, except, of course, we're not. that's what's so extraordinary about this. I mean, every country is still doing everything it can. Germany's taking 47 people from Italy. 47, you know, as many as that. I mean, 47 to help them. There is this project, supposed project, about, you know, distributing ventilators, but we know it's not going to happen. And it's people living inside a house of cards who can't see that it's crashing down all around them. I mean, the people who you were seeing on Euronews, you know, lined up on the borders trying to get home, well, it's not working for them. They don't feel much sense of, you know, we're all in it together. All that they see is that we're all falling apart together, because that's what we are.
No Schengen, no EU.
No Schengen. Well, no Schengen, no EU. I mean, the point about this is it's exposed the complete lack of reality of this. I mean, can I just say, once upon a time, there was something called the European Community, not the European Union, the European Community, which was a group of states, and they were states, and they would come together and they would agree various things and work together on certain projects. And that could work. I could remember it. You know,
can we go back to that?
Well, you can't. That's the point. I mean, they push this thing so far beyond what it could realistically be that they're now jeopardizing everything. Well, not jeopardizing it. They're destroying everything. They're destroying everything.
They're destroying everything. Exactly. Exactly. And it took a little virus to bring the whole house of cards down.
Well, indeed, quite invisible, untraceable, and apparently unconquerable. But there we go.
And they had plenty of time. Well, let's not forget January 20th, was it?
Absolutely.
That the warning bells went off, the alarms were going crazy. Be aware of what is happening. That was on January 20th.
Absolutely. I mean, there was a big article in The Lancet, which is the major medical journal in Britain, which is read around the world. Whole group of Chinese doctors were there saying, you know, this is a disease you've got to take extremely seriously. It's very dangerous. And they paid no attention. And, you know, I've spoken about how Russia closed its borders, and I've, you know, set them as an exemplar. But, you know, as several people have pointed out to me, even little Senegal, you know, a small African country, took those warnings seriously in January and started to take precautions. The mighty European Union didn't. And here we are.
Yeah, they were ready to take in 3 million refugees, courtesy of Erdogan. Anyway.
Well, indeed. Well, indeed.
All right. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that subscribe button. Check to make sure you are still subscribed, because yesterday YouTube unsubscribed a lot of people from our channel. So just keep that in mind. Yes. So just make sure you're still subscribed to the channel, because I think YouTube is starting to take advantage of this corona crisis, and they're up to all kinds of mischief. Anyway, what else? Donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps this channel out a lot. And go to the Duran shop and pick up some merchandise, like some magic mugs and polo shirts. Alexander, you have the Moscow
Well, except
magic
it's
mug.
not. You
The
know,
Russian
I stand
Federation Moscow,
corrected
yeah.
by a member, by the way, of the Russian aristocracy, a relative by marriage, I believe, of Peter the Great. But you know, she hasn't confirmed that to me. But Vera, if you're watching this, I stand corrected. This is not the coat of arms of Moscow, as it turns out. It is, in fact, the coat of arms of the Russian Federation. The coat of arms of Moscow does not have the double-headed eagle. So the double-headed eagle is Russia. So this is, in fact, the coat of arms of the Russian Federation. But it's still got St. George slaying the dragon of fake news and untruth, as we try to do in our videos, in our programs, which is probably why, by the way, we're getting all the trouble that we are getting. So this is a fantastic mug. It's got, as we said, the coat of arms of Russia on it, and it is beautiful. It is beautifully made. It is strong and light, and this is my wife's mug. I've just borrowed it so that I can explain this mistake that I'd made before. We always correct mistakes on the Duran when they're pointed out to us. And at the same time, it's the best mug I have had. And I've had so many coffee mugs and tea mugs in my time, stretching back all the way to university days and perhaps even before. And these are the best. They're indestructible, practically. Don't test it. I mean, but they are amazingly strong. They're incredibly light. They don't chip or flake. They keep your tea and coffee hot. They keep your beer and champagne cold. And they look amazing and they feel amazing. So we have these amazing Duran mugs in our shop. And we have also our amazing Duran shirts, like the polo shirt I'm wearing now, of equal and exceptional quality to our mugs, beautifully made, 100% cotton, extraordinarily comfortable, extraordinarily stylish. You can wear them, as I have done, to amazing social occasions, looking fashionable and smart in them. Or you can wear them, as I also do, you know, pottering around the house, looking after my dogs, walking them in the park, which is about the one thing we're still allowed to do. So they look fantastic, and they're incredibly, incredibly durable also. I mean, I've had mine now for over a year, and you can see it's in perfect condition. It's got, by the way, the double-headed eagle of the Duran, which is different from the Russian. It's not like the Russian at all. It's our very own that hovers over the world with and watches everything that happens. So we don't just have polo shirts in multiple colors, by the way. We also have t-shirts, equally well made, equally durable, also 100% cotton, long sleeved or short sleeved, as you prefer. We've got V-neck shirts, we've got hats, hoodies, and stickers. We've got all these things in our shop. We've also got ebooks covering topics like Russiagate and Ukrainegate and Brexit and Epstein. You can find them in our shop. Alex just told you what the kind of things we have to face. So you can come and show your support by coming to our shop, and Alex will tell you how.
You'll find a link for the Durant Shop in the description box down below, thedurantshop.com. And as you are mentioning eBooks Alexander, let me give a quick plug out to our friend Paul at Easy Virtual Assistants. And Paul has all kinds of services if you're looking to transcribe video and audio files. We highly recommend Paul. I'll put a link for his channel down below in the description box as well. That's Easy Virtual Assistants. And if anyone has ever picked up our eBooks and read them, that is a lot of Paul's work, and he does a great job, and we appreciate it. Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.